Up, Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. From 104.5. Horoscopes. Aries.
Taking action to improve your efficiency is a good idea today. Once your workplace and home are all organized, you'll feel like you can tackle the world.
Taurus. You'll be liberated from a confining situation and the worries that went along with it. And you have the support of all your close friends who just want you to succeed.
Gemini.
Your vision for the future is going to be a little optimistic. Go share your wishes with others. If you put your goals out in the universe, they will happen.
Cancer.
With social media being so active in everyday life, you're thinking you need to unplug and reconnect with yourself for a bit. That's a good call.
Leo.
Leo, you're looking to experience more life today, but you'll have to find a way to get those new experiences while still staying true to yourself.
Virgo.
You're going to have a lot of self-love today. That's a nice change. Spend the day loving yourself and maybe even treating yourself to a house spa day.
Libra.
Carve out some downtime for yourself. This is going to allow you to reconnect with not only you, but also with your family.
Scorpio.
Scorpio, you've been working like a dog lately and been craving some fun. Brainstorm some ideas that you can do with your friends.
Sagittarius.
You're focusing so much on your friendships and making sure your friends know how much they mean to you, but you have to respect their freedom and give them their space also.
Capricorn.
You have set your goals and you're not allowing anything to move your focus. This energy is going to serve you well in the long run.
Aquarius.
For some reason, you find yourself in the middle of all your friends' drama. Be their voice of reason. You got this.
Pisces.
A money day for you. How about that? Today's the best day for you to look at your finances and sort out any problems you might have.
All right. Those are all your horoscopes, all online right now at show1045.com. Check out the Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar page to see them.
Wake up, Toronto. Let's keep it moving.
Good morning.
Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar on Chum.
So we enjoying our Thursday so far?
Yikes, it's cold out there, Jamar.
Let's see what it is.
It's very cold. It feels like minus 23.
Yeah.
Feels like
a little breezy. It's a little breezy.
Damn.
Yeah, it's cold.
It's dropped.
Like, what coat am I going to wear? Did I wear the heavy ski coat today? Maybe something lighter. I made the wrong choice. But anyway, the roads seem to be clear. But because it's getting really, really cold, those snowbanks could cause damage to your bumper. That's, you know what I mean? When you back
Yeah,
and go,
yeah, them things are like brick houses right now. If
right.
You go cruising by one of them, it's going to scrape up everything.
That's
so
right.
Avoid it at all costs.
Yeah, it is silly. Yeah. So here we are. We are at January 20th. Minus 23, it feels like. And it's another day in January. What happened yesterday to either of you? Anything exciting?
I'm like, do exciting things happen anymore?
I mean, I don't know.
You know what is very exciting?
Yeah.
You know, the exhausted boy who we talked about in trending yesterday, Carter Trizzolo, we are going to have an opportunity to thank him for his shoveling efforts and for being all of us coming up at 8:30 in the morning.
Oh,
so
I
that
can't
was exciting.
Wait. That's
this
exciting.
Kid has become a legend overnight. It's crazy. Like, everybody's, there's a meme out there now of just the exhausted kid. Like, you could use it on your phone. if you look it up on your, on your meme finder, your GIF finder, it'll come up on your phone. It's amazing. You never know what's going to go viral, what's going to get people to laugh, or what's going to get people to react.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was just doing his thing, and all of a sudden, internet celebrity.
Right. Grade three. How about
I hope he can monetize that. It'd be nice to get a little money in there. Yeah, man, you got to make your own excitement. I went snowboarding yesterday. I was just sitting around I was sitting around the house doing nothing. I was like, yo, let me get out of here. So I just threw myself in the car and went out to the hill. It was great.
Good.
It was awesome. It was really cold and really windy yesterday. Yeah. And at some point toward the end of my my runs, it got really icy. But in the beginning, it was incredible.
Good.
So, yeah,
I'm glad that you did that because it's been a while, hasn't it?
It has been a while because last year we were on like super, super lockdown and things were just really crazy. But now you can at least go outside and do stuff outside. And Ontario's ski hills and snowboard places are open.
Yeah, that's great.
So I'm going to go back today and I'm going to go back tomorrow. I'm going to go back the next day. Are we getting an idea of what my weeks are going to be spent like?
Outside, fresh air. And I don't know. I think that's a good thing. A really good thing.
Yeah, man. So
that's you had the most exciting day yesterday. Congratulations.
I have to say I did. Yeah.
Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
Good morning.
The Chum Morning Show.
Good morning.
Take us anywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Well, this is a story about faith and humanity. Caitlin, you got a great story about Cardi B.
Oh, I just love Cardi, and now you're going to love her even more because she was speaking to TMZ about that fire that happened in the Bronx.
Yeah.
That really devastating apartment fire. And she's from the Bronx, and she is now going to pay for every single funeral associated with that fire.
Unbelievable. That was such a devastating fire.
Oh, my gosh.
That was incredible. That was a whole one floor, and then people tried to escape and couldn't do that, and so many families affected by that. So that's Cardi B.
That's what, great, and I think it's, you know, it's several funerals, and so it would be, she's got a lot of money, but it would still be a significant cost, and she said, you know, I know this is not going to do anything about the anguish that the families are experiencing, but I just hope that not having to worry about the cost associated with the funerals is going to help them move forward and heal and kind of focus on that part of the healing process instead of worrying about a really expensive funeral cost.
Let's go back in time with Cardi B just for a moment, Jamar, and tell me about, you know, all of a sudden, I remember her just being on the Bruno Mars song going, who is that woman? But what's the history about this fantastic human being that I love so much?
She's a stripper.
I know she's a stripper.
And she,
we don't have your microphone on, honey. I can barely hear you. He's eating his breakfast. There you go. Can you tell us what's happening? Like, I know she's a stripper. How did she get into the music thing?
She was just trying to rap it on the side, you know?
Yeah, okay. All right.
She was on a reality show.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, she's got a heart of gold, that one. So that's you know, amazing.
The stripper with the heart of gold. Yeah. It's funny, though, because she's...
Seventeen people were killed in that high rise, and so, you know, she sees stories on the news, and we know that she comments on the news all the time, but she she does one or two or three more steps to make people feel that there's faith in humanity somewhere, and that's Cardi B.
She was a cashier at a grocery store in the Bronx for years. She said, I would eat like cans of tuna for dinner. I never knew I was going to make it. So just an amazing story.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay. That's a good story for January 20th.
Good fun. Feel good stuff.
It is feel good stuff from her. Yeah. I always smile when I see her.
It's Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
I wake up early every morning.
Wake up on Chum.
There's a woman who is now a celebrity or a superstar, if you will, because of a bad choice she made. She went to a sushi restaurant and indulged in all-you-can-eat sushi. She is Danielle Shapiro, 24 years old, of Cali. And we'll just let her kind of tell part of her story here. Take a listen to this.
We didn't really notice a problem until afterwards, which definitely felt a lot of pain. I woke up the next day with extreme pain. I couldn't take deep breaths in and out.
So she ate something like 30, 31, like dragon rolls, a snow roll, a California roll.
Oh my gosh.
Plus edamame, wakame roll? I don't know what that is.
Let me see that roll.
Four goizas? I don't know.
Gyoza,
thank you. Two jalapeno peppers and some miso soup.
Yeah, that's a lot of sodium.
Four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves. And it sent her over the edge, everybody. What do you think of that?
Pretty dumb.
Yes.
Not the smartest thing to do. I mean, all that rice, number one. You know, that's a lot of rice.
Yeah.
She said she went home the evening and started having... Well, first she said she went home and her stomach felt firm. When I read that, I was like, ooh. She said, my stomach felt firm from all of the sushi. I mean, this is a lot. I mean, your stomach is not a very big space, people. A lot of people don't realize that. The actual stomach organ is not that big. And they usually say that the average meal for a person is supposed to be no bigger than the size of your fist. Anything bigger than that, then you're kind of stretching out your stomach. But anyway, she eats all this stuff, and she says her stomach feels physically stiff. And then she goes to sleep and starts having all these pains. She said the worst pain she's ever had in her life.
tummy and chest pains.
So they get her. They get her to the hospital.
Oh my God!
And they realize that she's having severe acid reflux.
Oh.
Because I guess the stomach acids that are being secreted to digest all this food in her stomach are reaching up to her throat. It's crazy.
It's crazy. So guys, you might say to yourself, "Well, why did she do that? She wanted to get her money's worth at a $50 per person buffet."
Yeah.
I mean, this also happened in the U.S., where if you overeat and wind up in the hospital, you're paying for your own hospital visit, everyone. So how did that money saving go for you?
She spent way too much money on this experience.
Here's the question. Do you think she'll ever have sushi again?
She said she was going to.
She said she would.
Right? Oh.
She said she would, and I don't see why she wouldn't. But, I mean, just don't eat so much, right? It's pretty simple.
I just
don't eat so much.
You know, those all-you-can-eats, they're troublesome to me. Just watch the people coming out of the all-you-can-eat buffets. And I mean, that just is painful for me. But anyway, that's how she rolls.
Yeah, if that's how she rolls. That's a good one.
Channel 104.5. The morning. Back to the morning show.
With Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
Just text one word to 104536 for this question. Are you team meal or snack? Do you like meals better or do you like snacks? Let's go around the room. Marilyn, are you a meal person or a snack person?
Meal because of portion control.
Meal because of portion control. Okay, cool. Caitlin, meals or snacks?
I mean, realistically, both. But
I know.
One or the other.
If I have to go one or the other, I think I'm going to go with snacks. Isn't that weird?
Really? You, the restaurateur, you know, person?
It's not like she's going to restaurants for, you know, every meal of the day, right?
Well, she likes to sit down for a meal, you know what I mean, Jamar?
But realistically, what are you doing throughout the day? Are you eating more meals or are you eating snacks?
Okay. That's exactly it. So I realize that day to day, I tend to snack. But I do love a meal. I mean, but yeah, snacks is the move.
Yeah. I gotta admit, I'm team meal. I love a nice big meal. Like, I just like a nice full plate of, like, all my favorite things on it.
Yeah.
I like snacks, but I don't snack that often. But we are in the minority here because according to the latest study, 70% of people in North America are snacking, and they prefer snacking throughout the day instead of eating full meals alone or meals at once. Now, it came into our common, you know, discussion about nutrition that we should probably be eating more meals throughout the day. And a lot of people started doing that by saying, hey, if you eat maybe like five, instead of three squares, you do five round snacks throughout the day.
Yeah.
And that'll help you keep your metabolism up. The problem is a lot of people have been doing this, but with the wrong snacks.
That's the one.
So you're eating like, you know, one snack period of cookies, then a little buttered popcorn, then some pretzels, and then this. And you're snacking on, when they say you're supposed to eat some more meals throughout the day, they're talking about like fruits and veggies, really.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And then what do? You get that big dip. You dip the carrot in a dip.
Yeah, you soak the carrot in cream, right?
Yeah, like, that's my point. Exactly. Like, so I'm thinking,
great.
I've got my plate. I'm good. I know where those food groups are. And that when it's done, it's done. I'm with you. Optically, I like it better, too.
Optically?
I like looking at a plate like you do.
I love looking at a nice plate of food.
Me, too. Me, too.
Yeah. Like, I really enjoy that. Yeah. So, listen, 70% is a big number, guys. Like, when you really think about it, most people now prefer to just eat snacks throughout the day. We're grazing, people. We're grazing.
Yeah.
And just not on the right things, it sounds like. Yeah.
That's the problem. You guys nailed it. Because I realize, like, I bake a fair amount, especially now that we're home in lockdown. And what I'm grazing on is mostly baked goods, which is not the move. And also, you should just be cutting up a bunch of veggies, having some hummus, and throwing in protein wherever you can.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I should switch to meals. I should adopt the Marilyn and Jamar method, and I maybe will, hopefully.
Well, I don't have it perfected, man. Like, I literally just ate. My meal was just like a bagel with butter. I just had like a waffle. Like, don't do my meals. I'm just saying.
Had all that?
You didn't watch me just eat this?
I saw that you were eating.
I had a whole bagel, butter, and a little jelly. I had a waffle. I had to, like,
well, there you go, Mr. Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, dude, this wasn't the greatest meal ever, but
why are you sorry? Did you have dinner last night?
I think I just burned a lot of calories yesterday. You know,
oh, like, I was really
active yesterday. So, in any case, yeah, choose wisely if you choose snacks. That's all I'm saying.
Do it.
Yeah. What's trending in Toronto with Caitlin Green?
Major grocery chains in the U.S. have published some food trend predictions for 2022, and they are expecting the 90s to trend, even in food. We're seeing it with fashion. We're seeing it with music, like nostalgia, 90s reboots. This has been all the rage for the past year, but 90s food is expected to make a comeback.
Soda, OJ, purple stuff, and two kinds of Sunny D.
Surprise.
All right.
Oh, I love this commercial.
Remember that?
OJ, purple stuff. So, well, I haven't had Sunny Delight in forever. I don't even remember what it tastes like.
Yeah, well, this is what the grocery chains in the U.S. are saying. Everyone's going to be pushing aside the purple stuff and reaching for some of those 90s nostalgia brands that kids, you know, kind of like... I mean, sometimes when I say millennials, I think people think of younger individuals than we're actually referencing. Like, you know, a millennial can be anyone really 40 years old and under.
Right.
So it's the people who grew up in the 90s as kids. This was your after school snack. And they're talking about things like pizza bagels, frozen corn dogs.
Yes.
In the U.S., Fluffernutter sandwiches.
Fluffernutters.
Right. So they're saying all this stuff, like all the like the frozen punch, the frozen foods, everything that you ate when you came home from school as a kid and you were responsible for taking care of your own snacks, they think that now everyone's like, you know what? The world is a cold and dark place and I want to be reminded of a simpler time. So this is the move. Some other things that they say are going to be trending this year. Instagrammable meals. I'm like, you don't even need to tell us this. Everyone knows that it's going to be an Instagrammable meal. And that's what's going to be trending. But also everything bagel seasoning on everything, not just bagels. And a continued spend on tequila and also tequila mixers. Because we saw those seltzers, those hard seltzers trending. Yeah. Kind of at the start of lockdown and like way back in 2020, but now they're saying pre-mixed tequila cocktails, that's going to be something that continues. Now also plant-based foods, of course,
foods. No, I don't want a plant-based, nothing.
Okay, but you want the pizza bagel? That's
I want the
having?
Pizza bagels and the corn dogs.
Okay, all right, well, you're going to get them. So this is what you can expect to see people spending money on at the grocery store coming up in 2022.
What was your favorite 90s snack? Do you remember any, like fruit by the foot? Gushers, do you remember that stuff?
I remember all that. I honestly think that I did have pizza bagels. I did a lot of like English muffin pizzas, like do it yourself English muffin pizzas you got home from school. Yeah. I did a lot of that. I love McCain berry punch, McCain frozen fries. That was like really big in Canada. Marilyn, did you have? You were a cheese whiz. You said you were like 50%
Oh no, but I'm not a 90s kid.
But like just in general, young Marilyn gets home from school back in the day.
Cheese whiz?
Yeah.
Yeah, she like squeezed cheese. Yeah.
No, I just scooped it out of the jar. And I have a Cheese Whiz spoon. Thank you to Kraft Canada. They've given me one, and they sent me a huge, huge jar of Cheese Whiz about 10 years ago.
Yo, do you guys remember when Nutella made this huge comeback? Everyone was just getting Nutella on everything?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Never been a fan of that. You loved it?
They opened a huge Nutella store in Chicago. It was like a big Nutella restaurant.
A store?
Yeah, a whole restaurant just for Nutella. It's crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah.
Ah. All this.
See, this is what happens when you start talking about food on this show. We go off into Never Never Land.
Yeah, no,
don't come back. So anyways, if you are finding yourself reaching for a pizza bagel in the grocery store, you're not alone.
Yeah.
Another trend that we're going to see continue on Instagram, at least, is monetizing subscriptions. Instagram is jumping on board a feature that we're used to from other platforms, obviously like OnlyFans. It's paid subscriptions. So on a limited basis, some creators may now be able to charge a monthly fee for exclusive Insta stories. So they're going to test this new service in the spring with, quote, a relatively small number of creators, saying that subscriptions are one of the best ways for creators to have a predictable income and not have it attached to how much reach you get on a given post.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's a big change. And, you know, the fact is there's a lot of money to be made on social media.
Yeah.
And Instagram did have to kind of hop on board and figure out how they were going to monetize things directly within the platform, like YouTube has done, like OnlyFans has done, because it pushes their own creators who they need to keep eyeballs on their app to other apps where they actually make money. So expect to see some of your favorite creators maybe start charging for certain access to their stories coming in the spring.
I'm going to say, I have two words for you guys, you kids from the 90s. Ready?
Yeah. Yes.
Hot pockets.
Hot pockets. There you go.
That's
there
the
you
one.
Go.
Yeah.
That I remember purchasing for you know who.
Yeah.
I probably still eats them. But anyway.
You bite into them and just go.
Oh. Yeah. Like half. That's how you burn your calories, right?
Yo, that is the. That's the sound. That's either a hot pocket or a hot beef patty.
or I will say to add to that, that's a Pop-Tart.
Oh yeah.
Pop-Tarts.
That's
man.
Pop-Tart too.
Wow, they got hot.
It's Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Jump 1045.
Get up.
Hey, let's talk to the resident insomniac of the show, Caitlin, for a second. and anybody else who has trouble sleeping, let me ask you a question. If you have trouble sleeping and you got your phone in your hand right now, text the color of your bedroom to 104536 right now. What color is your bedroom, Caitlin?
It is white.
It's white. Marilyn, you sleep pretty all right, right? You don't have trouble sleeping, do you?
I love sleeping, and I very, very few times do I have problems sleeping.
Okay, and your bedroom is what color?
Cream.
Cream. Mm-hmm. Cream, okay. I'm reading a study here that says that if you have trouble sleeping, you should probably paint your bedroom purple. And not just any purple, like a lilac kind of like light purple.
No.
No, not into it?
I'll take the insomnia.
Okay.
What's the science behind that one? Or
I really
like
don't know,
paint?
To be honest with you. Like, yeah. It's not giving us the reason, but according to the study,
more people
with a purple-colored bedroom have less sleep problems.
That's a study done by Benjamin Moore, no doubt. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they could probably weigh on this. Maybe they know. The people second with the second best sleep by 76%, their rooms are blue. Blue rooms. Mm. People with blue rooms are getting good sleep as well. I thought you were going to say your room is green, Caitlin, because green rooms, that would have been funny. Caitlin Green with a green bedroom. But anyway, green rooms have the worst sleep out of all the colors.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe they just meant green people.
Maybe it's just green people. Yeah.
Well, purple paint, generally speaking, means no trespassing.
Really?
Yeah.
No trespassing.
So if you see it on a fence or something like that, it means no trespassing. How that emotionally gets into, you know, how you sleep, I don't know. But I just know that if you have no screens on, Caitlin,
mm-hmm.
you have maybe one of those extra, like those weighted blankets, a nice Ooh. Duvet and a good pillow, and just put like an eye mask on. I'm not talking about for, you know, for hydration, but just to close everything out like this. You know, sometimes people don't. Do you know that some people's eyelids don't close all the way? It's amazing.
That's gross.
If you do, no, it's just don't.
Look, Snack, can you
Are
imagine
you
looking at?
No, that happened to me.
Marilyn, if I looked at you with your eyelids half open, I'd run out the room. Oh, my God.
No, it's
like a poltergeist.
Like, do you know sometimes when you know you get something in your eye? I know, it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like my eyes do not close completely. I don't know why. But anyway, I put those eye masks on. That's good sleep hygiene.
Wow.
It's good.
I learned something new today.
I know. And I think that study was done by a paint company, Jamar. Just saying.
Don't paint your color. Don't paint your room these colors, by the way, too. Brown, yellow, beige.
Well,
those are also, if you want to get good sleep, colors to avoid painting your room.
So on that note, before we go to traffic, if you want a guest room and you don't want your guests to stay that long, always paint it yellow.
Yellow?
Because if you don't want them to stay long.
They get out?
Love it.
That's
love
funny.
It.
Wake up. Wake up, Toronto. It's Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Wake up. On Chum.
So this isn't mine. This is actually BuzzFeed's. But I think they kind of did it wrong. I don't know who did their rankings. I'm not really on board with a lot of their picks. They did 38 legendary sitcom characters, and they ranked them based on how poorly they would do in the pandemic and how well they would do in the pandemic. So the worst to the best.
Yeah.
The very worst. Anybody watch The Good Place? They said Janet from The Good Place would be the worst in the pandemic. Mm. They said she'd be fine in the bonkers, awful world we live in these days. Janet even says the finale of The Good Place, blah, 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 blah. She'd be fine. I don't know.
I know that movie. That's the one with Ted Danson in it.
Ted Danson, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it that much, but yeah. Is that the girl that played Dak Shepard's wife that played that role? Is it?
Yeah, Kristen Bell stars in it.
Yes, that's who that was. Okay, yeah, she wouldn't have done well.
someone else they said that wouldn't have done so well, Liz Lemon from 30 Rock.
Yeah, I co-sign that.
Yeah,
yeah, that she wouldn't have been so
true.
Good.
Yeah.
Doing a little better.
Uh-huh.
They said Carlton from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Better, okay.
Yeah, Carlton landed at number 17. He'd be the hardest to chill, but he'd be super into following the rules. I think actually that's right. That's good. Carlton would be a goody-goody, and he would follow the rules. He'd have on a mask all the time.
Yeah.
A mask to match his school uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd social distance for sure.
Yeah.
Their number one best person in the pandemic would be Michael Scott from The Office.
Michael Scott? Explain.
The moment Michael Scott learned about COVID-19, he would buy every single item in the grocery store. Then he would go through all the food in the 5 days. The pandemic would break him psychologically months before there was even a lockdown.
Wow. Okay. That's the reason behind that. So who do you guys think would do well during this time? What TV character would do well?
Marge Simpson.
Someone who texted actually agrees
with me.
Yeah?
Always cleaning.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
She'd do really well.
Okay, my pick was going to be Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec.
Who's that guy?
Ron Swanson is played by Nick Offerman.
Oh,
he's sort of the boss with the mustache.
Yes.
Let me tell you, he'd be in the woods hunting for his own food, isolating away from everyone, building furniture. He'd probably be able to create the cure for COVID-19. So I'm going with Ron in the woods for $100, please.
And the best person in my world that I think would survive and do well and explain everything is Sheldon Cooper from The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be the science behind it.
All science, yeah.
All science, kind of Fauci-like.
Well, I'm going to one-up you on that one then.
Okay.
And this is not mine. I'm going to just take it from someone who texted, but I completely agree with them.
Sure.
MacGyver.
Oh, MacGyver.
MacGyver would MacGyver the mess out of the pandemic. He would take Kleenex, cotton balls. he would take charcoal briquettes. He would take matchsticks, and he'd make an N95 mask out of them.
Wow.
Or something even better than an N95 mask.
You'd never run out of anything with MacGyver.
Yo, you want MacGyver with you during the pandemic. They need to reboot that, by the way, too.
They did. It didn't go well.
Didn't go well? Okay. No. They need to not do that.
They did, and it was short-lived, as they say. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Who else? Someone said Al Bundy. How would Al Bundy do in the pandemic?
Well, he'd have, would Al get even vaccinated?
No. Al would be an anti-vaxxer. Yeah.
Right.
He'd be talking about Polk High School and like how they didn't do that when he was playing football.
Yeah.
Al's not paying attention.
Not at all. No. Yeah.
Someone texted Chuck Norris already beat COVID. You're right. Yeah. COVID's afraid to get Chuck Norris, to be honest with you. any of the Walking Dead characters? What do you guys think about that? I think Walking Dead characters would do well in the pandemic.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you're right, actually.
I mean, the Walking Dead zombie apocalypse is actually worse than COVID, so they would think this is pretty easy.
Yeah, I mean, if you can survive the zombie apocalypse, you're probably going to do well in our current setup. So, excellent point.
I'm gonna do a big brush across this kind of idea. Anybody on a daytime soap opera, because they keep coming back to life.
They never die.
They just keep going.
That's it.
Good morning, everyone.
Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar on Chum.
Talking about our favorite characters from television and how they would do in the pandemic if it played out on their show.
It's such an interesting premise, but why not? We've watched enough television. You know, we decide what characters we like and we don't like. I'm thinking about Sex and the City and that reboot.
Oh, no.
Boy.
How
would they do?
All of them in trouble.
They're in trouble.
All of them. Everyone.
Too much drama?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I had said before that I thought Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec would do really well. And he's played by Nick Offerman. He's the guy with the big mustache. He's a real, you know, DIY kind of guy. And this actually came up when Nick Offerman, who plays Ron on the show, was on Late Night with Seth Meyers.
I think Ron Swanson would be handling the coronavirus panic.
I don't think he would necessarily notice. But if he did, I mean, if Leslie would probably send him a missive or some sort of message, and he would just take his family to one of his cabins in the woods where he was heading anyway, and they would just enjoy, you know, some fishing and some items from his garden.
Yeah.
And that's about what you said.
That's right.
And that's about what you said, yeah.
I think characters that isolated would do really, really well.
How about characters that could do really good DIY, like the Home Improvement guys?
Sure.
Tim Allen would do great. Remember when the pandemic started and we were all building new things in our house so we could make it like pandemic ready?
He's perfect for that.
They would kill it, man. Yeah. Home Improvement, that's exactly what you want.
I think Wilson on the other side of the fence would do really well, too, from Home
Right.
Although we would never know, Caitlin. That's still a mystery to all of us, yeah.
He would definitely be social distanced, sure. Yeah. Howie Mandel would be pretty bad at the pandemic, though.
Yes.
Just in real life and in character.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I follow him on Twitter, and sometimes some of the things he says, he's doing pretty good, but man, I guess initially that probably didn't go well. Although, you know, isolating for a little bit and not mixing with other people, that's kind of what he loves to do, but he knows he has to get out there and work. So maybe at the beginning it worked for him.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how you look at it with him, because he might have been ahead of the curve, right? Like staying away from people. And
well, you know, it's funny you say that, because on some kind of a post he made, he goes, see, I told you not to touch other people. Remember when they said not to do that? So he was wearing masks long before we were, that's for sure. Wow. This is a really good concept. I can think of so many people that wouldn't do well. You know, we mentioned Liz Lemon, and I'm just thinking about not Family Guy, but Modern Family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Cam would not have done well.
No.
Okay, that would not have been successful. No. I don't know how that would have gone. I don't. But the kids would have been fine, yeah.
And now everyone's texting in all the grumps who would have done really well with the concept of social distancing. Someone said Oscar the Grouch would have nailed the pandemic. He hates people and social distance in his can and call it a day.
That's a good one.
Someone else said Dwight Schrute from The Office.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like people. He's hiding away on his beet farm with his brother, and that's what he's doing, living off borscht and calling it a day.
Okay.
Somehow I think the ones that we mentioned we really like personally, but we're not, you know, really want to tell you too much about how much we like them, right? Like, you know, like Sheldon Cooper. I thought that's such a great character. I thought he could be my friend. I always want that smart guy.
Yeah. You want a brain in your pocket at some point, right?
You do.
Marilyn Dennis and Jamar. Mornings on Chum.
Remember when we talk about what day of the week, if you could break up the work week and have one, like, free day, what day would be the best day to take off? And I think you said that it was either you or Roger was saying, like, Wednesday was the best day.
Oh, yeah. That was an Ashby thing, Wednesday, because he felt that, you know, you get a break from there's 2 days on, 1 day off, 2 days on, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
He had more Fridays in his world. That's how he felt. Yeah.
Well, if you put mental health in the conversation,
sure.
Wednesday might not be the best day to take off. There's an online debate that's happening right now about the best day to take off if you're taking a mental health break. Like right now, you could actually call your boss and be like, listen, I'm not sick. There's nothing wrong. I'm just having a little mental struggles right now, and I need a mental health day. That's actually a very common thing right now. The problem is when you take Wednesday, people are saying that when you come back to work, because it's in the middle of the week, everyone's going to be in your business. Everyone's going to be like, hey, where were you yesterday? You were here Monday and Tuesday, but you weren't here on Wednesday. What happened? And that's going to be a little intrusive. So Wednesday might not be the best day. It could be, you know, good if you want to, you know, not have a full 5-day week. But if you want people to, you know, stay in their lane, Wednesday's not the day to do it. What do you think about that?
I don't know about that. I think, if it's not Wednesday, Jamar, what would it be? I guess I'm going to go that route.
Okay. I would say if you need a mental health day, a Monday is a good day to take off.
Mm-hmm.
I think a Friday is a good day to take off because, you know, people are already gone, so you just don't come back the next day. Friday, you just end the week early, and then you get the whole weekend, and people by Monday kind of forget that you weren't even there.
So you got a long weekend there.
You get a long weekend and you get a little privacy.
And there's consistency, you know.
A little more consistency.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I like that. I also understood from a long time ago, somebody said Wednesdays are bargain days at the store. Back in the day, pre-pandemic. Things go on sale and everything like that. I thought, well, if you want to, you know, make it work. And then a friend of mine said not too long ago, because we had this discussion, what do you think is the best day? And she said, I'd love to go to the grocery store on Wednesday, get everything done so it doesn't get lumped into the weekend or Friday or Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's wild. I do like the consistency of Monday through Thursday. And then being able to rest for 3 days, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if you're having a mental health crisis, I mean,
you
a lot of times...
You take any day off you want.
Yeah, you don't really, you can't really plan sometimes when that happens.
Yeah.
So it might not be completely up to you. But if you did have a choice, people are saying that Wednesday is probably not the best day. I would also put Tuesday in that same bracket, too. Because think about it, you come back to work Monday after a weekend, everyone's like, all right, let's do it, let's get it done. And then all of a sudden the next day you're gone.
Okay.
It's gonna feel like something's really wrong.
There was a stress survey done in the United States, and it said about happiness. And they found that Tuesday feels like the longest day of the week to workers and the most stressful, especially around lunchtime. It's the most miserable day of the week.
Which day?
Tuesday.
I completely agree. I hate Tuesday.
See, I don't like Wednesdays.
I say the reason I don't like Tuesday.
Why?
It's only one day away from Monday, and it's halfway to nothing.
Okay.
Halfway to nothing's good. Okay,
it's halfway to nothing. It's like, what is Tuesday? I wish we could take it off the calendar. Someone just texted in. What do you think about this? Even though we were saying that Monday and Friday are good days to take off if you need a mental health day.
Yeah.
Someone said that the optics are bad because it just looks like you want a long weekend.
We do want a long weekend.
We do. That's honesty,
absolutely right.
You got that right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's good. It might be bad optics, but it's very honest.
Do you guys ever find, too, that when you have a Monday off, like Sunday scaries are imprinted in a Sunday, even if you have Monday off?
Oh,
no matter what, Sunday feels like a Sunday. So that's why I think I would take Friday off, because it feels like an exciting day off. It feels like you're adding a day to the weekend, whereas Monday feels like I'm adding a Sunday, which I don't really want to do.
Here's another scenario. Ready? Good Lord. We'll never ever have the right answer. Another study. Thank you very much. Taking off Monday does have its benefits. It can make your work week feel shorter and let you enjoy Sunday with your family without that nagging feeling, Caitlin. If you're taking the day off on a Friday, you may feel stressed about finishing up your week and getting everything done on time. I don't know what the answer is.
I can't decide.
That's why vacations are good.
Yeah, we're all never going to agree which day to take off.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But I do want to say this. Working from home is good from January to March.
Agreed.
sitting at my kitchen table.
That is seasonal.
It definitely makes blizzards more pleasant.
I know. That I think we all agree with.
Because I've had a big smile on my face this entire blizzard.
I know. And then the weirdo here, that's me. Loves coming in during a blizzard. What is that? The Alberta girl in me, I guess.
I'm cool. You are. Right here on this couch.
Do it.
Yeah. What's trending in Toronto with Caitlin Green?
Let me know.
Ontario is once again discussing a gradual reopening plan. And I'm telling you that if we had a dollar for every time we heard the term gradual reopening, we could all retire. But sources are saying that the government is planning to ease the current COVID-19 restrictions in place on January 31st. Ontario is also expected to move things while they're being reopened, but to a 50% capacity. So indoor dining, gyms, movie theaters, and more, 50% capacity with masking protocols in place and proof of vaccination in place. So Premier Ford expected to announce the details at a news conference today. And Marilyn, what did you say earlier in the show that we were laughing about off air?
Don't give the time of the actual news conference, because it's never the time that you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
Which really bothers me.
I won't give you a specific time as a result of that.
No, it's never
very
the right
logical
time.
Statement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Bill Murray also trending because in a very on-brand moment for everyone's favorite Hollywood eccentric, Bill was seen surrounded by musicians giving an impromptu concert in New York's Washington Square Park. So if you were in Washington Square Park and you walked by and saw a man singing I Feel Pretty, it was Bill Murray.
Any girl who isn't me.
It's alarming how charming I feel.
Well, first of all, that's impromptu, and he knows the words to a West Side Story classic. Yeah. I'm impressed.
Washington Square Park is the weed spot, so he was definitely, he was high out of his mind. Just letting everyone know, if you haven't been to Washington Square Park yet.
Okay, yeah. Just so that's good info.
Yeah, so he was on cloud nine.
Yeah.
He just rolled past, and he was singing a bunch of hits from West Side Story. And
good for him.
I know, and so the show ended abruptly once cops arrived, and so he was then seen screaming, "The cops say we have to turn off the microphones. Let's rip this place apart." Like, people were just...
Wow.
Believe
so
it.
Once again, Washington Square Fair. Park.
Jamar, is that one of those pianos that are, is that like a, like, that's not a piano, is it? Or somebody's got
it,
like,
might be like a key, I mean, it's not a, it might not be a full-size piano. It might be like a keyboard with a little speaker.
That's amazing. All right. Yeah. I love you, Bill. Good on you.
Okay, now I'm going to give you guys my trending sports report from a very novice sports reporter, which is me, Jamar. And this is an emotional roller coaster for Jamar.
Sure.
So, you might have seen this week, but it's trending today, that Cool Runnings is coming to life once again. It's making a return to the Winter Olympics because the Jamaican bobsled team has qualified for the Games for the first time since the 1998 Olympics in Nagano, Japan.
Love
feel
it.
The rhythm, cool. Feel the rhyme, get on up, it's bobsled time.
Yeah, they are really excited about this. So the four-man sled team announced the news on Instagram, and they said, "Jamaica, we have a bobsled team heading to Beijing. It will be fire on ice." So that's kind of like, other than if your home country has a team now, like, this is very much the fan favorite. Like, I'm expecting quite a few people to watch this now, this bobsled team race in Beijing. And one thing I know that Jamar is not going to be watching, but it is trending, is a new documentary series based on the Netflix documentary series Drive to Survive, which is built around, of course, Formula One racing and their drivers. It was such a huge success that they want to apply that same model to tennis. So they've said they were going to try to do this with tennis. Now, golf is involved, Jamar.
Oh, get out of here.
I know.
God.
The PGA is hoping that they can work on golf. Netflix and the producers of Drive to Survive are going to shoot a documentary series about the 2022 PGA season. All four major championships, Players' Championship, FedEx Cup, all going to be included. Over 20 golfers have already agreed to be filmed, including big top 10 players, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth. So, Jamar, are you going to be watching Drive to Survive, as in the long drive along the fairway to survive?
Golf is so boring. But I mean, people love it. I mean, they'll make money out of it. A lot of people have been tricked into loving golf, so it'll do well.
Guys, I'm actually quite excited about this because I love Drive to Survive, and I wasn't into F1 racing, which inherently is much more, I would say, overall, like, seems exciting. I mean, it's international race driving, but, like, I think this is going to do for golf and tennis maybe what it did for F1 and bring a lot more people into the sport. It's already hugely popular. I don't know. You can let us know if you're excited about this or not.
Maybe if golf was, like, played on ice or something and had a little speed involved
hockey.
Or some
it's
kind
hockey.
Of... It's hockey. Some kind, yeah, something, I just, like, some kind of, something interesting about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Don't
wake up. Mornings on Chum
with Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
Another day, another Pete Davidson update. I don't know how this guy is getting so much news.
I think he's got a good group of people around him. And it's just every day he's turning into a Kardashian. Every day there's a story about one of them. Now it's Pete Davidson every day. What have you seen?
Well, they're saying that Pete Davidson was talking about some stuff from his New Year's Eve bash with Miley Cyrus. Apparently, a producer told him to go get a spray tan so that he wouldn't look, quote, so bad on camera. Oh, guys, this guy gets so much stuff thrown at him. It's crazy. But there was a picture of him going around where he oddly looked like Beetlejuice. Like, his hair was kind of, like, spiky and, like, bleached, and his skin looked really pale, and that people were comparing him to Beetlejuice. That's not the best comparison. But I think at this point he just embraces all this stuff.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
I mean, I think he's learned to not care. I feel like there's a part of him inside that really,
does.
Like, that does, but he's learned to kind of just run with it?
Well, he compared his sex appeal to being a diamond in the trash.
That's great.
I love Pete for
not
that.
Not a
kind
diamond
of stuff.
In the rough, yeah, now, but a diamond in the trash.
Now, meantime, in the world of Kardashians and stuff, you know, he's hanging out with Kim a lot and everything. Hmm. The word is, and I don't know, do we believe this? Nah, I don't know. Backstage at Saturday Night Live, Pete has a new nickname, and it's called Diva, because apparently cast members resent Pete for missing rehearsals to be with Kim. You know, there's always one star that kind of rises from that ensemble cast. I think way back in the day, oh gosh, Christmas Vacation. Who is that? Who's the guy?
Huh? Chevy.
Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
Chevy Chase was only he wasn't on Saturday Night Live very long, and he just rose to stardom, and it was very difficult. He just wanted to do more movies. The word is, and that he became difficult on Saturday Night Live, and then eventually left. So.
And then he ruined Community. Apparently, on NBC.
Well, he did. I heard that too. You agree with that?
I mean, I wasn't there, but everyone on that set pretty much didn't like him by the end of the show.
Tough guy. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
He's always won.
Pete's having some fun right now. Let's see how long this lasts.
Chum 104.5. Good morning. Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Toronto's Morning Show.
Yeah, the snowstorm the beginning of this week was pretty significant. It was a big one. It was bigger than we've experienced in quite some time. And we needed all hands on deck. And all hands did get on deck, even the little hands of a one Carter Trizzolo. Carter, good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Yeah, you're still tired. Well, you know what? Everybody welcome Carter, the gentleman who's gone absolutely viral after his interview on CTV about his ordeal shoveling snow in his neighborhood. Tell us about that morning when you woke up, Carter, and you realized there was so much snow outside.
Well, I woke up and I went upstairs and there was so much snow. And so when I was just about, so I thought it was going to be online school, but I go to check my Google Classroom. My teacher said, no school, it's just asynchronous, and I only have one assignment. So once I finish that assignment, I have nothing to do. So my mom suggests I shovel outside, and then I go shovel.
I got to tell you, I mean, for anyone who feels sorry for the kids doing online school, I don't even know what the word asynchronous means. They're learning something, so yeah. Clearly.
It means doing it by yourself.
Oh, okay.
See? Why didn't you know that?
Asynchronous.
We've been out of school for a long time. So you shoveled did you just shovel your area? You shoveled neighbors.
Yeah, I shoveled neighbors, like one or two houses down.
Is this your first season doing so much snow shoveling, or previous seasons did you have to go out and shovel?
I've been shoveling for a while, but never with this much snow.
Yeah. This is historic.
I bet you in your life this is the biggest snow that you've seen.
Actually, when I was in Winnipeg, I think there was more.
What? Wow, so you are a snowstorm expert.
We've got a lot of years under your belt, it sounds like. So what happened? So at some point, you ran into the news people. These are actually the news cameras that work with us here at Bell. Yeah. How did you get in contact with them?
I was just shoveling, and he came up to me and asked me a few questions.
Yeah. And, you know, you didn't hold back the truth.
Nope.
He was very, very honest. He talked about being extremely tired and exhausted, which rightfully, I mean, a lot of heavy snow out there. And now tell us about what's happened after that, because you do know you've gone viral, right, Carter?
Yes.
Yeah.
The day after the video is posted, I wake up, my mom comes down and says, guess how many people have seen it? And I guess 100,000, and I'm right. Over 100,000.
It's a lot of people.
And then by the end of the day, it's at least 2 million.
Oh, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's not just people in Canada. You know, people in other countries are watching your interview as well, Carter.
Yeah, I know.
You're somewhat of a role model right now because there are a lot of tired people around the world, and you've become somewhat of an icon for the exhausted, you know, residents of Earth. We're all exhausted, and you are our spokesperson.
Yeah.
What do you... You got some famous people and like, you know, just giving you a shout out, right?
Yeah.
Like the Canadian Armed Forces, like they gave you a shout out. What do you think of that?
Just surprised. Didn't even hear about that.
Yeah.
It's a good one. What does it feel like to go viral, knowing that so many people, millions and millions of people are watching your video? What is that like on a daily basis for you?
It's just... wow for me.
Yeah.
Like, not like over a million people have never seen me. Like, I haven't seen that many people see me.
Right.
Well, listen, take it in stride. You sound pretty humble.
Mm-hmm.
I would say stay off of reality TV. You know, you don't have to go in that direction. Stay in school. You know, you're going to be famous,
but
you don't have to, you don't have to go, you know, the... you know, Real Housewives direction. Go,
oh,
you know,
God,
stay with the academics. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Carter, your legions of fans, ever since we posted this, have been reaching out to us, and they all want to know, when you're not shoveling, when you're not sleeping or learning asynchronously, what kind of stuff do you like to do?
Well, sometimes I play in my backyard with my dog. Sometimes I just play with my sister in the backyard with all the snow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sometimes I just watch TV.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sometimes I read. And sometimes I eat.
Sometimes you
that's
eat.
That's good.
You listen, someone doing as much work as you do, you need a lot of calories, my friend.
Right.
So yeah. Eat a lot. Are you a fan of Legos at all?
Yes, I actually just... on the day that the video was posted, I built some Lego.
Really? What kind of Lego structure did you build?
Well, it was like a 3-in-1 Lego space theme, kind of.
Whoa.
And so it was, I went with like the pod, like the one that lands on the moon. Mm-hmm. I went with that. It was really fun, and I didn't use like half the pieces.
Wow.
Sick.
He's good.
Well,
I could either build two rocket ships or that.
Well, Carter, you're going to have a couple more choices to make because we have something very special for you. Your friends here at Chum 104.5 got you $500 to spend on Legos. We got you a Lego gift card. You're going to get $500 worth of Legos.
You could build the stellar system.
You could build the International Space Station with that many Legos.
Are you okay there, Carter? Did you hear what we said?
Yes.
He sounds like he's out of breath.
Are you tired of hearing that?
Hey, listen. Well, we know that you're spending a lot of time at home these days, so we figured if you're going to spend it, you might as well spend it doing something you love, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
How old are you, by the way, Carter?
I am 9. I'm just turned 9.
Wow.
Well, happy belated birthday. Hey, you're an inspiration, Carter.
Yeah.
We're all working hard and we're all tired, but you are leading us, so thank you. And by the way, did anyone pay you for the shoveling you did in your neighborhood?
Yeah, that's a good question.
No.
Yeah? Hey, neighbors. we gotta talk. But Carter, thank you so much, man. You know, everyone loves what you had to say and loves seeing you out there helping your community. We just are excited to be a part of your little story. So enjoy, all right? And tell your family hello.
Yes.
All right. Get some rest, bro. All right. Carter Trizzolo, the viral
Carter.
Exhausted kid of Toronto.
I love it. That's so great.
Marilyn Dennis and Jamar.
Come on. In the morning.
My station.
Chum 104.5.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's January 20th. It's a very, very special day. I've retired from this situation, but Jamar continues on with the tradition of being a disc jockey.
Oh.
It's National Disc Jockey Day.
Is it really?
Recognizing the DJs playing the music and spinning the records.
Look at that.
There you go.
Is today National DJ Day?
It's National DJ Day. I used to do that. You still do it, which is great.
Yeah.
It's been going on for a long time, but yeah. It's your day today. How do you observe it? How are you going to observe it?
You know what? Maybe I'll do a DJ set today.
Maybe I'll just do a
live stream or something like that on Twitch.
Right.
Beautiful. You know, listen, DJing is one of my passions. It's a joy. It's so much fun. I mean, what What is better than just standing up and playing your favorite songs back to back? It's like one of the greatest things. And I'll tell you something about this city. Toronto has some of the greatest DJs in North America all across our GTA region. We got so many talented DJs, literal DJs in this town. So this is a day that this city can celebrate.
It's fun. It's fun. I just remember doing what you do, but not the way that you do it many, many, many years ago. Taking that milk carton thing. that, you know those things that carry all those for the albums,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you get your LPs and your 45s.
And then my little Pioneer mixer. And the two turntables, hoping that the needle was still good. And then getting drunk requests from people at, frat parties. But, you know.
Oh, yeah. Getting every virus on record thrown in your face. Can you play?
I want to hear it again.
Yeah, exactly.
But good on you.
Well, all good. All good. Listen, no matter how you do it, whether you just, whether you're scratching, cutting, juggling, or maybe just going back to back, whatever you do when you're playing music, you are the DJ. No matter how you do it, you just do it. So hats off to the DJs this morning.
You got it.
Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. Chum 104.5. Podcast.